Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 5. I want to use for a title my message today, God's Method of Recovery. I want to read from 2 Kings chapter 5, the first 15 verses of that chapter for a scripture reading. Going to be reading today about a man that lived long ago by the name of Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." I want to stop reading there with verse 15. As I've already said, the title of my thought today will be on God's method of recovery. I want us to do a summary. I want to look through this and point out some things about the situation that we have read about here. We had an account of this man named Naaman. Naaman had a problem. He was a mighty man and a great man in the position that he held, but he had a problem. He was a leper. He had leprosy. I believe that we will also see in this, and there are some things that if the Lord will help me to point them out, I believe that we will also see in this, not only did he have the problem of being a leper, but he also had a heart full of pride. Naaman had way too much pride. You know, I pray today and I ask for your prayers. I pray today that God will bless me as much in preaching this as he did in studying it. And I pray that he will bless me, or bless you rather, the way that he has me. I believe what was said in Sunday school this morning when Brother Wheat was teaching and told us about these things, particularly that we read in the Old Testament scriptures. If you want to get the true fullness of the meaning of these things, you've got to look for Christ in them, because he is the main character. Christ is the focal point, the focal character of all scripture is Jesus Christ. The writings of the scripture are a history of the work of redemption, and Jesus is the main theme in all of them. And I believe that we can certainly see him in these things that happened here with Naaman. So we have a man that was a leper that had that problem. We have a man also that I said had a lot of pride in his heart. We also have a woman, a little maid, the Bible called her. I don't know what her name was, but we have a little maid that also had a problem. She had been taken captive by the Syrians and taken out of her homeland and was being made to serve. And she was a servant there to Naaman's wife. But her heart was much different than Naaman's heart was. And I believe that this little maid had a heart filled with God's love. So we have two people here so far with different types of problems and two very different types of hearts. And you know, I don't know if Naaman realized yet, or to be honest with you, I don't know if he ever fully realized, when the Syrians took this little maid captive there and took her out of Israel and brought her to Syria, I don't know if Naaman ever really realized what a great blessing it was to him when they did that. How that God was going to use her. You know, I want to say this today to all of us here at the church and as God's people. You know, we never know what situation that we're going to find ourselves in. But we need to always be looking for the providence of God, whatever the situation is. I don't know if Joseph, for many years, I think it took Joseph a long time to understand why that he was in the situation that he was in. Why that his brothers had treated him so badly and why that they had sold him as a slave and why he ended up there in Egypt far away from his family. I think it took him a lot of years to understand that, but he finally saw it. He finally saw that God had put him there for a reason. And so I don't know how this little maid felt being taken away from her homeland, being taken captive and put here like she was, but I know one thing, that God was certainly using her in the situation that she was in. We have two kings, the king of Syria and the king of Israel. And at this time, at this point, there was certainly no love lost between these two kings. They were not on good terms with each other at all. We have a man by the name of Elisha, who I believe if you study about him, you'll find that he was a great man and that he was indeed a true prophet of the Lord. You see, the things that men prophesied during the days of prophets, the things that men prophesied had to come to pass in order for them to be known as the true prophets of God. If they went out and they prophesied things to come and they didn't happen, they were labeled as false prophets. And Elisha, and you study the life of Elisha, and many times it was proven that he certainly was one of God's true prophets. Elisha did not care much or did not have much respect, perhaps that would be the better way to state it. Elisha did not have much respect for Joram, who was the king of Israel at this time. You go back into the third chapter of 2 Kings, and you'll find that to be true. There was a time, at this time, Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. Joram was the king of Israel, and they came together to meet with Elisha. And Elisha told Joram, I wouldn't even give you any attention if it were not for the presence of Jehoshaphat here in this meeting. He just didn't care for and have respect for the man that was the king of Israel at this time. But Naaman was to the king of Syria. Naaman was what we may say his right-hand man. We read about him being the host of the king of Syria and how that it had been by him that the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. So he was, as I said, in the earthly office or the earthly position that Naaman held. He was a great man. But you know, there's something that we need to remember about God and about people. And we also heard again in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we heard the verse there from Isaiah, how that the Lord is the high and lofty one. The Lord sits up on the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers before him. And we need to remember that though Naaman was a man in a great position and of great authority, the Bible teaches us that God is no respecter of persons. So the king of Syria was concerned about his great servant Naaman. He wanted him to be healed. He wanted him to recover from his leprosy. You know, another thing that we can see in this, and there are so many wonderful teachings and so many wonderful lessons in these 15 verses that have been read before you, but we can see in this what great benefit to people that a godly person really can be. And I want to say this to you today that are here and lost. The fact that you are here, the fact that you are among people that are godly people, the fact that you are among people that care about your soul, you ought to thank God for that blessing. That you are among people that have a desire to see you have what God has to give to you. I promise you that this little maid here cared more about Naaman than his own king did. I believe no doubt that the desires of the king were that Naaman might be recovered of his leprosy so that he might continue serving him, that he might continue to be useful to him and do the work that he had for him to do. But I believe this little maid was motivated by nothing but compassion towards this man that was a leper. Even though that, and that's why I said, I believe that the love of God dwelt in her heart, because even though she had been taken by these people, even though she had been taken captive from her homeland there from Israel and had been brought to Syria and had been made to serve, even though those things had taken place, she was concerned about this man's leprosy being taken care of. You know what? She could have kept her mouth shut, couldn't she? She didn't have to say a word. She could have just kept her mouth shut and let the leprosy kill this man that had taken her captive and was using her as a servant. She could have just kept her mouth shut and just let that leprosy ate away at his body until it got rid of him. But she didn't. She said, I would to God that he would go to the man of God there in Israel that he might be cured of this. I'll tell you what, this little maid knew more about God than the king of Israel at that time knew. She was more godly and she was wiser than the man that was ruling the nation. And we can see that in what Elisha said to him. The king of Syria didn't do what the little maid wanted to be done. She wanted Naaman to go there to the prophet that was in Israel. She wanted Naaman to go to Elisha. She knew that God had put in the prophet the power, had given him this ability. And, you know, truly, I think when we look at what she wanted Naaman to be taken before the Lord. She knew that that's where he would be healed. She didn't tell them that he needed to go to the king of Israel. She said that he needed to go see the man of God, the prophet that was there in Israel, and there he would get help. But what did the king of Syria do? He wrote a letter to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel, pardon me for lack of a better word, was just stupid about it. He got the letter and he read it and he thought the king of Syria was asking something of him that just couldn't be done. That, you know, he said, well, who am I? Am I God? Am I supposed to recover this man from his leprosy? Am I supposed to give him life? Am I supposed to do what God is able to do? And he thought that surely the king of Syria must have even sent this letter seeking an occasion to pick a fight with him, to have a quarrel with him. And so the king of Israel rent his clothes and he didn't know what to do about it. He just got in a frenzy and tore his clothes off and didn't know what to do. And Elisha came to him And he said, why did you tear your clothes? Why did you rent your clothes? Bring the man to me, which is what should have been done in the first place. I'll tell you what, folks, listen. You know, it's good to have friends, isn't it? It's a wonderful blessing to have friends. It really is. And at times we are able to console each other. At times we're able to encourage each other. At times we're able to help each other. But I'll tell you what, the human race, we can look at the lives of people. We can see so many situations throughout. If we will just keep our eyes open and watch, we see so many situations throughout our lives where things could be avoided. I mean, many things could be avoided if we would take our problems and our cares and our troubles, if we would really take them to the one that we ought to take them to in the first place, we would save ourselves a lot of misery, wouldn't we? We sure would. I'll tell you who had the plan for Naaman's recovery. God did. God had the plan. The prophet Elisha was no different in that respect than the apostles were in the days of the New Testament. The apostles had been given the ability to perform miracles. They could heal the sick. They could give sight to the blind. They could make the lame walk, the deaf hear. But the power that they had was from the Lord. It's the Lord that truly heals. It's the Lord today that truly heals. Then we had men that had been truly been blessed with these gifts. Today we got a lot of phonies that say they have been, but they haven't been. But listen, healing has always come from the Lord. And God was the one that had the plan for Naaman. And I want you to know something today. If you're here and you're lost, God has the plan for your recovery. God and God alone has the power to recover you from your sins. And I don't know if you've ever seen leprosy, but it's a pitiful thing to look at. I know there are different degrees of it, but it will just literally eat your body up. I mean, those that had leprosy, they were pushed away. They were very contagious. And people didn't want to be around them. And so they oftentimes they were secluded from the other people. And it was just, leprosy was and is just a horrible disease. But listen, I want you to know something today. If you are here this morning and you have never experienced God's saving grace, you have a condition today that is far worse than the leprosy that Naaman had. And you need to be recovered. You need to be saved. Those that fail to get saved are going to die without God. If you fail to repent of your sins and trust the Lord and be saved, you're going to die in your sins. If Naaman didn't get help, his body was in trouble. Friend, if you don't get help, your soul is in trouble. Your soul, your eternal soul, the welfare of the part of you that's going to live beyond this world is in trouble and in peril. And only God can recover that. This man, he went there to the house of Elisha, and the Bible tells us, and I think that we can see in this, and I believe Elisha saw in this what it was that he was facing with Naaman, and Elisha was obviously, the way that he handled this situation, he was obviously a man of great wisdom. And listen, church, when we are dealing with people, when we are trying to reach people, I guarantee you that there are so many situations where we need the wisdom of God to be able to know how to approach people that we might win them to the Lord. And the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. Elisha saw exactly what he needed to do here when he was dealing with Naaman, because here he came. Here he came to Elisha's house. And how did he come? Did he come with humility? No, he came with his chariot. He came right up there to Elisha's house there. In verse 9, Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And as I said, Elisha in his wisdom obviously knew what he was dealing with here and had some kind of insight, no doubt, into what Naaman would expect of him. So what he did, rather than going out, he just sent his servant out there to speak to Naaman. And when he came, he sent, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him and said, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again, and thou shalt be clean. And Naaman was angered. I mean, it just angered him that, you know, here I am. I'm a man of a great position. I'm the right-hand man of a king. Here I come to this man's house with my horses and my chariot, and he doesn't even give me the respect to come out to me himself. He just sends his servant out to talk to me. I believe that Naaman felt like that he had been belittled. But let me tell you something, friend. Before I got saved, and I believe there are many people here today that will testify to the same thing. Before I got saved, I saw myself as something very small. Didn't you? I mean, I saw that there was nothing great about me. God brought me to the place where I realized that in the presence of a holy God, that I was nothing. You may not like that. I don't think Naaman liked it. I don't think Naaman felt, as I said, that he had been given the respect that he should have been given, and it made him angry. And if Naaman would not have gotten over that, if he would not have got past that, he would have returned to Syria still as a leper. He had to get past that, and he had to be willing to do what he was being told to do before that he was going to be healed of the leprosy. Naaman came here with his own idea of how it should happen. And friends, let me tell you something. That has hindered a lot of people from getting saved. Coming to God with their own idea of how it ought to happen. How many times have you heard somebody confess? How many times have you heard somebody, in telling their experience of salvation, say, I had this idea in my mind of what it was going to be like. I had this idea that, you know, when I got saved, that this was going to be happening and this was going to be happening, and that I was going to shout, or whatever preconceived notions that we have. Friends, let me tell you something today. If you're lost, you need to just come before the Lord, and you need to beg for His mercy, and you need to let God have His way with you. That's what you need to do, because it's God's way or no way. Naaman, he felt, I believe, as I said, that he had been disrespected. Naaman was wroth. Here's what he said. I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought that was what would happen. Naaman obviously thought that he had been disrespected in being told to go and wash in the Jordan. The Jordan wasn't good enough for him. The little narrow river of Jordan that was usually muddy and murky, obviously Naaman didn't think that was good enough for him. There are better rivers than that. Why can't I go there and wash in them? Well, why not? Why not? Why couldn't he? I'll tell you why. It wasn't God's plan for his recovery. That's why he couldn't. It wasn't God's way. Didn't have anything to do with the different river. It was God that had picked the Jordan. That's where he wanted him to go. It was God's method for his recovery. I want you to think about this. Go and wash seven times. Seven times. Why? What did it mean? Why did he tell Naaman, why did this servant of Elisha go and tell Naaman to go to the Jordan and wash seven times? Why not once? Why not twice? Why did it have to be seven times that he had to dip himself there in the Jordan? Well, I'll tell you what my view is. You know, the number seven in the Bible oftentimes signifies completion. Making something complete. Go seven times. And I believe what he was requiring of him here to do this seven times, he was trying his faith. I believe that he was showing him in this that it would take a complete faith and that it would take a complete surrender to the Lord in order for him to be cleansed of his leprosy. And listen, lost friend, if you are here today, I want you to know this, that you're never going to get saved as long as you, if you only give God half of your heart, or if you only come to him halfway, you're never going to get saved. You're going to have to fully trust him, and you're going to have to fully surrender your will to his, and until you do, you're not going to find salvation. You've got to give it up. You know what Jesus said you had to do to save it? He said you've got to lose it. Those that lose their life will save it. Those that try to save it are going to lose it eternally. You know, I can speak for myself today. I can't speak for you, but as I said, I believe there are people here today, many people, that will testify to the same thing that I will testify to. Before I got saved, I gave it all to the Lord. I gave it up. I remember specifically in my case, I remember specifically things that were hindering me, things that I was trying to hang on to. You know, Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. You're going to hate one and you're going to cling to the other, and he is exactly right. You cannot try to have a little bit of God and a little bit in the world. That will not work. They don't mix. I had to let go of all of it. I had to surrender my heart completely to the Lord before he saved me from my sins. That's what repentance is. In repentance, we turn away from ourselves, we turn away from our sins, and we turn wholly to the Lord. Naaman was required to completely surrender to the Lord and to God's way. You know, the Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God's way is through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. people in the world today telling all kinds of stories, aren't there? I mean, there's people promoting all kinds of ways to get to God and to be safe and to be justified. But I'll tell you what, you don't come through Jesus, you're not going to get there. No man can come to Him, can come to the Father, except through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read again in the last verse that I read. I want to read to you what happened to Naaman when he became willing to do what he was being asked to do. He went, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And it says, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Was he saying that God didn't dwell anywhere other than in Israel? No. He was saying that this God of the people of Israel, he is the true God. He truly is the real God. And you know what? When I got saved, then I knew. Didn't you? Then I knew that there was no God like the real God. He convinced me of His reality. He convinced me that I had a proper relationship with Him. I believe that Naaman experienced something here that showed him that God is real. It's what happened to me when the Lord saved me. God became so real to me. You know what? I had heard about Him all my life. I had been taught about Him all my life. I had felt His presence among the people of God. I knew that there was something there stirring even when I was lost. But when I got saved, when He shed His love in my heart by the Holy Ghost, it was then that I became to know how real that He really is. I'd like for us to have a song. I want to tell you that are lost. And I promise this to you. On the authority of God's word, I promise this to you. That if there's anything at all that you're trying to hang on to, I promise you, if you'll let go of it all and just surrender your heart to the Lord, when God speaks peace to your soul, there'll not be one thing you'll ever regret. Not one thing. Salvation is the greatest gift I have ever had. It's the greatest thing that I have ever experienced. But you'll not get it coming to God with pride in your heart. Naaman had to let go of that before he was cured of his leprosy. He had to let go of that, and he had to just do what he was being told and trust in the Lord for him to recover him from his leprosy. And that's what you'll have to do today. You'll have to let go of everything and fully trust the Lord to recover you from the awful condition of being lost. So let's stand and sing. My heart goes out to you today that are not saved.